www.attableek.com, the reviver of Iman.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa habibina wa maulana Muhammad wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa ahli baytihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kaseeran kaseera. My most respected elders, beloved brothers and young ones, it is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is His mercy upon us that He has selected us, chosen us, and brought us into His house on the nisbat of deen, on the nisbat of iman. Allah selected us and chose us from the billions of people on the face of the earth, billions before us, and Allah and all knows best till qiyamah, from billions that may come, Allah selected us and chose us and blessed us with iman. Say alhamdulillah. May Allah Pak keep us with iman till the last breath in our body, and the end result of our salah, the end result of our tilawat, the end result of our askar, the end result of all our amals, is at the time of maut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability, gives us the tawfiq of reciting kalima. The one who recites it has become successful forever and ever. And the one who is deprived of this great ni'mat of iman, then ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. There can be no greater loss than that. Because the losses of qabr, the losses of hashr, the losses of akhirat, the losses eternity, there is no end to it. So Allah desires some good for us. When Allah desires good for someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with iman. When Allah decides something good, great, more good for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the understanding of deen. يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah gives him the understanding of this deen. And thereafter, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person further, Allah accepts him for the effort of deen, for the effort of hidayat. Then how our life and our health and our wealth becomes his means of cooling the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How our walking on the face of the earth becomes as a means of people coming closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person looks at us, he becomes reminded of Allah. That Allah who has created each and everything, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Whether it is the sky created by Allah, whether it is the sun, whether it is the moon, whether it is the stars. Each and everything around us is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is that being. When there wasn't a single drop of water, Allah created oceans. When there wasn't a single grain of sand, Allah created mountains. Allah created a lion without a lion. Allah created the tiger without a tiger. Allah created each and every system. Man does not create, man makes. A person wants to make a chair, he requires the raw material. Whether it is steel, whether it is the screws, whether it is the material that goes within it. A woman wants to bake a cake, she requires the raw material. She requires milk, she requires water, she requires eggs, etc. She requires fire, she requires space, she requires resources to make a simple cake. Man does not create anything. He uses the raw materials provided by Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah is that being, His order, His desire, kun fayakun. From two drops of fluid, Allah created two eyes. From two drops of fluid, Allah created ears. Allah created the heart. Allah created lungs. Allah created liver. Allah created this entire body. Allah says, wa fi anfusikum. Don't you look within yourselves and see the signs of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the marifat of Allah within ourselves. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away eyesight, who can grant it again? If Allah takes away hearing, who can grant it again? If Allah takes away the ability to speak, who is there that can grant it again? If Allah takes away the ability to hold and walk, who is there besides Allah that can allow us to walk? It is His kindness, His ni'mat upon us every day, every moment, every second. Whether we understand or we don't understand, whether we acknowledge or we don't acknowledge, the ni'mat and the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal upon us. Allah loves us. 6 billion people on the face of the earth who is rejecting Allah. Who is associating partners to Allah. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Allah says shirk is the greatest zulm. Even then Allah is feeding them. Allah is giving the kuffar food to drink. Allah is giving them homes. Allah is giving them wealth. Allah is giving them the things of the world. The greatest kafir to set face on the face of this earth was Firaun. Who said, Ana Rabbukumul Ala. Ulama say he was a person who used to steal the coffin of the dead. Allah took him from that low position, elevated him, put him onto the throne of Misr, granted him kingdom, granted him armies, granted him wealth. Musa alayhi salam went to him and said, "Oh Firaun, keep everything. Keep your wealth, keep your government, keep your power, keep your army, keep everything. Recognize one Allah." The same da'wah today, keep your wealth, achieve whatever you want of the world, whether it is the luxuries, whether it is the comfort, whether it is the position, whether it is become the president also, become the prime minister also, become the ruler also, become everything. But one, recognize Allah. Recognize that being who is controlling each and everything, that Allah who is distributing and Allah is giving. Today to bring this head, bring this heart subservient to the desire of Allah. And there's only way, one way, and that is in the lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's no other lifestyle. Allah has given us a beautiful way of life to bring it in our life. The person who adopts it, Allah will give him honor, Allah will give him izzat, Allah will give him success. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He said, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Holy Quran. If you wanted to see Quran, it was in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I was meeting the incident early on to a few youngsters. We went to South America and we met a person. He took us around for Gush for 2 days. On the second day, we came back. There was still some time for Salatul Isha. So he was sitting in the back of the masjid with his kitabs. So I went to him and started talking to him. So he said, every word about Allah, every word of Akhirat, every word affects my heart, increases my yaqeen. He said, 3 years ago, I was a practicing Hindu. He says, one day, I entered into my home, had my supper, had my dinner, and I went to bed in a feeling that I am surrounded with darkness. So he says, anyway, I went to sleep in this condition. He says, then I saw a person, I'm not saying he saw me, he said, a person that looked exactly like you with sunnah. Allah give us tawfiq of bringing sunnah alive in our life. We were in America a few years ago, in 2000. We had the students gathered like this, and after that we had a little ikram. So one youngster got up from the dastarkhan, and he went and brought 3 of his friends and came. So he said, give them da'wat. We spoke to them about akhirat, qabr, hashar and akhirat. After half an hour, Allah opened up their heart, Allah blessed them with iman, Allah blessed them with hidayat. Allah made it such, few years later, we went back to the States. And it so happened this masjid was the last masjid close to the airport, so we came there just to spend the night and the next day to catch the flight. So just after Isha Salah, 2 youngsters come up, they say, do you recognize us? I said, don't recognize you. He says, don't you remember da'wah was given to us? I said, yes, now I recall. Allah opened up your heart, Allah blessed you with hidayat. Hidayat in the hands of Allah. We can't guide anyone. But Allah has kept the system. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah wants that. Today is not the Qurbani of Sahaba. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is beaten in Makkah Mukarramah. Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu is beaten in Makkah Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is beaten in Makkah Mukarramah. The family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes through hardships and difficulty till the day that Nabi Abbas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the world. Himself in hardships and difficulty. There is no food in the home. This is the system of Allah till Qiyamah. For us, a little bit of inconvenience today. Leaving the home. And now to their special mattresses. Thermal rest and this rest also. So your back doesn't even feel anything also. But this was the today's inconveniences. The inconvenience today when you come to Canada, mashallah, I lost about 6-7 kilos in the last 4 weeks. I think about, I picked up about 10 kilos here. So I told them, you're going to make me shaheed here. Allah bless you all, inshallah. Allah give you all more also. Allah increase his barakat and rahmat and anwarat upon you all. Protect you all, your deen, your dunya, and make it as, protect your progenies as well. But every ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us, we make shukr of it. Because there's no guarantee that any ni'mat remains. A ni'mat will remain as long as a person uses it in the correct manner. Every drop of water is a ni'mat of Allah. It does not give us the right to waste. Every grain of rice is a ni'mat of Allah. It does not give us the right to throw anyone away. Each, behind each system, they say that rice that reaches us, there's a whole system that goes in it. From the time that it is grown, Allah appoints an angel upon that grain of rice. Until it is harvested, reaches the farmer's shed, from there it reaches the place where it is packed, from there it is distributed, until it comes into the supermarkets, purchased and brought to the home, put into the pot, cooked, come onto the serving bowl, from there onto the plate, And from there till it reaches your mouth, Allah appoints an angel upon each grain of rice for it to reach you. This is Allah's system upon us. So every grain, every ni'mat that Allah gives us is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, so I said, you all are two of your ways, the other one. He said, this person, this youngster used to be particular about every sunnah. His dressing, his walking, his sleeping, his eating, every aspect to this extent that anything that was given to him, he'll first go to the alim in the masjid, tell me, did my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eat this? If he was told that he did not eat it, he would not eat it. A new Muslim, a man who comes out of kufr, batil and shirk and out of darkness, when the nur of iman and the nur of hidayat enters in his heart, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters into his heart, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِيُونِ. Say, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then make my itiba. So anyway, he says, this youngster, he gathered his friends, prepared some ikram for them, just to bring them closer towards deen. And after the meal, they were playing a basketball game. So while playing the game, he stopped the match and he called his friends. He says, oh my friends, believe in the oneness of Allah, believe in the finality of the nabuwat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will give you success in this world at the time when you leave the world, in the life of the grave, in the life that is to come after that, and forever and ever in paradise. He gave them this dawah, something this effect, lay down on the basketball court, recited shahadat and passed away. How a person lives his life, a person few years in deen, when he made his life the object of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave him more than that. These other two youngsters, they say, we learn Quran. They became hafiz of Quran. They went to Cairo. They did the qiraat course. They came back. They fit carpets. They get people to work for them. Whatever is the going rate, whatever is the hourly rate, $10 or whatever it is, they will give them up to double the amount. They'll employ people to assist them, to help them, pay them double the amount, just to show them the akhlaq and invite them towards the deen. The ayat of Quran came to mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you will not strive for my deen, then yastabdil qawman ghayrakum, I will change you with another nation. I will change you with another nation who will not be like you. We have a youngster. Many African brothers in our country have accepted Islam. There's a young boy, 9 years old, just a few years ago. He accepted Islam. He started learning Quran, Alif Ba. Then he started the hifz of Quran. From the day he accepted Islam, he comes from such a background that his father cuts sugar cane. His father cannot even spell his name, cannot even write his name. That is the type of ta'aleem in this home. That is the type of education in this family. This young boy, from the day he accepts Islam till he becomes hafiz of Quran, was 18 months. He knows English, Arabic, Urdu, and his mother tongue, which is Zulu. He knows it fluently. He's an alim. The last time I met him 2 or 3 years ago, he was an ustad of 250 youngsters that accepted Islam. If you not strive, use the youth, the young boy in his teens. Don't think we are young. Allah used the youth to take his deen to the four corners of the world. Allah used the youth, Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, a young boy at the age of 17, becomes the means of the beautiful deen of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam entering into every home of Madinah Munawwara. Became the foundation of this deen to spread to the whole world. Kuffar told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make as much tawaf of Kaaba as you want, no problem. Make as much zikr of Allah in Baytullah, no problem. Perform as much salah as you want, no problem. But one thing you don't do in this place is give da'wat. He left Makkah Mukarramah because of da'wat. The hadiyah of Madinah Munawwara is da'wat. Came to Madinah Munawwara because of da'wat. So that this beautiful deen could spread to the four corners of the world. So he sent a youngster before he comes, go and prepare the field. A young boy takes Islam, Tariq bin Ziyad, at the age of 17 or 18, takes Islam to the whole of Spain. A young boy, Muhammad bin Qasim, rahmatullah alayhi, at the age of 17 or so, takes Islam to the whole of the Indo-Pak continent. Uqba ibn Nafi radiallahu anhu takes Islam to the whole of North Africa, a young boy. According to the historians, 150 million people accept Islam on the hands of Uqba ibn Nafi radiallahu anhu, just in Nigeria alone. So these are the youth. Our youth is not behind the cell phones and the health phones of today. And the internet and everything else. And the technology of today. Allah has given us this beautiful deen. So many are saying, this person said, I see this youngster in my dream and he tells me that your darkness is because of your ignorance. So he says, accepted, fine, what should I do? He says, go to the library. There are two books that are out of place. Go and take it and read it. So he says, I went to the library, I spent 3 hours. After 3 hours looking on the shelf, eventually I found one book which was out of place, which was the Holy Quran. Allah forgive us. Today how Quran has come out of place in our life. Quran is in the month of Ramadan, we pick it up. We pick it up now and again at the time of janazah. But have we made Quran part of our life? The love of Quran, to recite it, to understand it, to bring it in our life, to pass it on to others. Over and over again, Allah is giving us this message. The greatest message to mankind. Today we have neglected Quran. So he says, I took this and I read it. And I found great enjoyment in it. He says, I see the youngster again in my dream tell me, go back to the library. There is one more book, go and take it and read it. He goes to the library, he spends another 3 hours. After 3 hours, he finds a book, which is the Ahadith of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Amul of Talim takes place in our masjid. How much of love we have for it? How much of attachment do you have for it? Our ulama are saying, bring it alive in your home. These are the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has kept nur in it. Allah has kept hidayah in it. Allah has kept guidance in it. There's asr, there's effect in it. Today the receivers of Allah's azab are open in the home. Open up the receivers of Allah's rahmat. Every word has got an effect in it. Ibn Sina once was treating, known as the father of medicine, was treating a king of the time. So he started the treatment, he was sitting next to the king. So an alim from the place came to visit him. So he came, he stood next to the bedside of the king and he began to read some ayats of Quran, some du'as from the ahadith of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ibn Sina looked at this alim with expression in his face, as if to say, listen, I know what's wrong with him. I've started his treatment. What help is this going to be? What effect is this going to have? So the alim perceived what was going through the mind of Ibn Sina. They say, beware of the firasat of a mu'min. He looks with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he looked at Ibn Sina and told him, oh, you donkey. Imagine addressing the father of medicine as, oh, you donkey. So immediately his expression changed. His face became red. The blood vessels began to become more dominant. His whole expression and demeanor changed. So this alim told him, Ibn Sina, all I did was utter one word, donkey. So why the change of expression on your face? So then he told him, if one word donkey has such an effect on you, imagine the words of Allah and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what effect this will have on a person. So this person said, I read only 40 hadiths until I felt the darkness being lifted from my heart and my heart became convinced on Islam. But because we have forgotten our duty and responsibility, those masjids in that place of the country are empty. There's nobody in the masjid. So he says, when Allah decides good for a person, Allah is independent. He says, I was taught my entire deen in my dream. I was taught kalima, I was taught wudu, I was taught salah, I was taught the different commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was taught Quran in my dream. He says, for one entire year I was a practicing Muslim in my home. One entire year a practicing Muslim in my home. Every day I'll go past the masjid, look inside, nobody. No azan, there's no salah, there's nobody in the masjid. He says, after 1 year, there was a jamaat in the masjid. I went past, there was a jamaat in the masjid. I entered and my 3 sons entered with me. And Allah blessed him with hidayat. His sons are becoming ulama. Himself, the chief engineer of the place. So he went to his employees, he said, listen, either you accept my resignation, or you accept my terms of employment. So they said, what is it? He said, I'll only work from 8 to 1. And you can adjust my salary accordingly. And if not, no problem. I will resign. You can give my job to somebody else. So they told him, okay, we'll have a meeting. Come tomorrow. We'll inform you of our decision. The next day they called him. They said, as far as working from 8 to 1, we accept. No problem. As far as your salary is concerned, we have decided we'll adjust it. And now instead of decreasing it by half, we will double it. Because you are too valuable and we don't want to lose you. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. This is not on the earth, it's not in the job and the degrees. These that we do and those, these which we acquire, these are just asbab, they are means. Allah says, wa fis sama'i rizqukum, your risk is in the skies. This is the promise of Allah. Wa ma min dabbatin fil ard. Whatever creature, whatever that is there on the face of the earth, whether it is a lion, whether it is a tiger, whether it is a billion of ants, all of them, the risk is by Allah. There's one creature that Allah has created. There's one bird, I think it's the bar-headed geese, if I'm not mistaken, if I can remember correctly. It's a bird that travels every year, makes a trip twice from Alaska to New Zealand, migrates twice a year. It's a small bird. And this bird travels 11,500 kilometers non-stop. It travels for 9 days and 9 nights continuously. If it is raining, it is still flying. If the snow is falling, it is flying. If it is windy, it is flying. If it is night, it is flying. If it is day, it is flying. Whether there is heat, whether there is snow, under every condition, this bird is flying for 9 days and 9 nights continuously. Scientists have examined this bird. They say when this bird flies, that Allah has kept such a system in this bird, that half the brain sleeps and half the brain is awake. And after a few hours, that part of the brain that was awake goes off to sleep, and that which is awake, that which was asleep comes to life. One simple bird, how great is Allah? And for 9 days and nine nights, this bird does not stop to eat, nor to drink anything. Who sustains it? Who gives it that ability? One little bird, an insan, you and I, who are the best of Allah's creation. Today, for a few dollars, for a few cents, today we forget Allah. We break Allah's orders. We go into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And says, there is no creature on the face of the earth, but his risk is by Allah. إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَهَا. Our beginning, our end, wherever we are, Allah will ensure that which is decreed for us will come upon its appointed time. قُلُّن فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. It has been decreed. There is no way it will be changed. Do what you want, how you want. The giving hand is always clean, is what kind of container that you put underneath. Either we desire to get it according to halal, or we desire to get it according to haram. So this person, he says every day from 8 to 1, he goes to work, he comes back at Zuhr. After Zuhr till Asr, himself is becoming an alim, he goes to madrasa. Comes back to the masjid from Asr till Isha every day, going to meet the people in his locality. Inviting them towards the masjid, inviting them towards the house of Allah, inviting them towards the obedience of Allah. The after he goes home after Isha, from Isha till 12 o'clock at night, he sits with his kitabs. At 12 o'clock at night, he says, I put a sheet on the hard floor in the kitchen. He's got a $2,000 bed, Allah knows what kind of bed it is. He said, in the last 2 years, not a single night on that bed. He sleeps on the floor in the kitchen. He says, from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock, 2 hours of sleep. He says, better sleep than what I had in my entire life on that bed. Gets up at 2 o'clock till the adhan of Fajr in tahajjud and dua, crying for the ummah. If you will not do the effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring other people. But we don't know whose sacrifice, in which place, which youth, which elder, which person at that time cried. And Allah in the far corners of the world, Allah is making decisions of hidayat. Sahaba gave qurbani in the plains of Hijaz. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave qurbani in that place. Allah opened up the doors of hidayah to the four corners of the world. This is the system of Allah. Allah has given us an effort to bring a cry and pain in our heart. There are people who are crying. Who is going to come to us and talk to us about Allah? There are people who are waiting. In Australia, one of my cousins is there. She was given a skull guzari. They went to this island called Cocos Island. Maaf, Mulana was supposed to give the bayan, so he sent me to entertain you for a little while. Skull guzari. Allah himself gives skull guzari. Mulana is not feeling well. If it gets better, maybe he'll come. But anyway, so you're telling us you went to this island of Cocos Island. The Muslims in that place was divided into three little groups. They used to come once a week with their alcohol and their food. They will drink and go back home. That was their ibadat for the week. So anyway, this Jamaat landed. They gathered them together, fed them, taught them kalima, taught them salah, taught them deen. And when they were leaving, so the eldest man of the tribe grabbed hold of this brother, Muhammad, and he told him, Brother Muhammad, my father told me there'll be people who will come to us. They will have three qualities in them. If you see these three qualities, then you accept the message that they bring to you, they will teach you your deen. So the first thing you all did was you all gathered us and fed us. That was the first time you were told that you will feed us. The second thing is, they gathered the most beautiful woman of this island, brought it and came and presented it to the Jamaat. So they said, we haven't come for this. Allah has given us wives at home, you have beautiful women at home. We haven't come for your woman. They say that youngster was tempted by a beautiful woman, and he looks down, Allah gives him the sweetness of Iman. What is a woman of the world? Allah invites us to the halls of Jannat. Such beauty that if a woman of Jannat has to spit into the waters of the ocean, the waters of the ocean will turn sweet. Imagine if he has to kiss you, what will happen? Might end up with sugar diabetes. Am I right? You see, if she talks to a dead man, the dead man will come alive also. Such beauty in the hurs of Jannat Allah has kept. If she has to just put a scarf into the earth, the entire earth will become full of fragrance. Not the woman of today, she tells you I love you, tomorrow she's walking with somebody else. Today you spend all your life. So this one youngster was head over heels of this woman, of this young girl. But she would reject every advance that he made. So eventually he told her that, listen, if you're not going to accept my proposal, then I'm going to hang myself outside your door. So she told him, my father doesn't like people hanging around here. So beloved, these are the world, girls of the world, the women of the world. Allah invites us to the halls of Jannat. That is the place. Allahu yadu'u ila daris salam. Allah is the one who is inviting us to akhirat. Inviting us to the home of peace. Dunya is temporary. Temptation is temporary. We are here for a few days, for a few months, and then we are gone. So anyway, the brother told them that, listen, we haven't come for this. Allah has given us beautiful women at home. Then the third thing, this person, they gathered a huge amount of money. And they presented it to the Jamaat. They said, this is hadiya, this is gift for you. So they said, what should we do? A huge amount of money. So the brother said, I took it, and then I doubled it, and I gave it back to them. And the person who did that understand, whatever you spend for Allah's deen, Allah does not decrease, Allah always multiplies. This person today, he is an Aussie multi-billionaire. Whatever you spend for Allah's deen, do not become afraid. Allah is the one who gives, Allah is the one who takes. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. He's the owner of this entire kingdom. He gives it to whom he wants, he takes it from whom he wants. Whatever dunya he gives us is not to spend it on ourselves, but to invest it for our akhirat. Invest it on the ummah. Sahaba spent and spent and spent. They tied stones onto their bellies and they continued spending until a time came when Allah threw the treasures of the Roman and Persian Empire at their feet. 5,000 years of accumulated wealth of the Roman and Persian Empire Allah threw at the feet of Sahaba. Do not become afraid. Allah's khazanas are unlimited. Today we don't know how to take from him. We don't know how to take. The way of taking is to give. The more a person gives, the more he spends, the more Allah spends upon him. It says Allah keeps spending upon his servant as long as he spends. The day his servant withholds, Allah also withholds. So the person said that, listen, we tested you all with such amount of money, we thought it will be difficult for you all to refuse. But we saw you showed greater ihsan and greater good upon us. We accepted your message. And then he told the brother, he said, Brother Muhammad, I'm 85 years of age. I'm 85 years of age. I'm waiting for you all for the last 45 years to come. What took you all 45 years to come to us? When our own children and my brothers and sisters and my families have died and left the world without iman, what answer are you going to give to Allah that it took you 45 years to come to us? Allah has given us the ability to go from person to person, talk to them about Allah. We met a person, we looked in the directory, found his name, went to meet him once, twice, thrice. I think the fourth or the fifth time we managed to meet him, it was a Yemeni. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised the people of Yemen. Al-Iman Yamani wa Hikmata Yamani. Praise the Iman of a Yemeni, praise the wisdom of a Yemeni. When you got to him, it was after Maghrib Salah. He was a teacher of Arabic, mathematics and English. When we found him, he was in a condition of intoxication. And not just intoxicated, but his entire family had become murtad. All of them had come out of the deen of Islam. Anyway, we started giving him da'wat. And after a while, he starts tearing. And he said that I was mu'azzin of the masjid. And after a few minutes, he says, not only that, I was hafiz of Quran also. Understand, Allah gives us deen, but to protect it, you have to give da'wat. The da'wat of kufr, batil, shirk, mal, and the effort of shaitan is on us 24 hours. When you're sleeping, he's also making effort. You have only got one enemy. We have got no other enemies. Only one enemy, and that is shaitan. His job is to take us away from this world, to take us towards Jahannam. His job is to take everyone. Those who haven't got iman, who's still waiting for da'wat, they're not our enemies. We are just stealing their dunya. This dunya is a jannat for the kafir. This dunya is a jannat for a kafir. This is a prison for a mu'min. If you're going to steal the jannat of somebody else, what's he going to do? Give them their dunya. Show them akhirat. They'll love us also and come close to us. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a means of mercy to the whole of mankind. What was that desire? That the whole of mankind to recognize Allah. Shaitan's job is to take us away from iman, take us away from salah, take us away from the itaat of Allah. But we have to make such an effort. This effort of da'wah is to protect us. What you give da'wah to us, the yaqeen comes in the heart. My speaking is not for you. The speaking is for my own self. That this yaqeen, this conviction comes into my heart. The greatness of Allah, the azmat of Allah, the marifat of Allah, the beautiful life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes a reality in my life, comes alive in the lives of the ummah. And people are waiting who's going to come. And don't underestimate your youth. Do not underestimate your young age. There's a youngster we met in Australia also from Sydney. Allah took us there many years ago, the first time. I think it was 92 or so. There were 4 or 5 masjids in Sydney. Area called Bankstown. At that time there was no masjid, no musalla also. So this youngster is from that area. So there was an ishtima that we attended. So he spoke after Asr Salah. So I asked him, Sheikh, where did you study? He said, I qualified in Raivin. So I asked him, how you ended up in Raivin? He said, Jamaat came to my door. My father welcomed them into the house. He listened to their da'wat for a short while. It was the time for Salatul Zuhr. So they asked permission to make Salah. He says, after Salah, my father didn't join them because he didn't know how to make Salah. He says, after Salah, my father brought some ikram for them. So they told him, Ya Sheikh, this is the month of Ramadan. He said, Mahaza Ramadan, what is Ramadan? What are you talking about? The Jamaat cried, he cried. They took the father away, took the father and went for Chilla. When they left back to Pakistan, he went with them and spent 4 months. Says when my father came back, there was absolutely no deen in the house. My mother knew nothing, didn't know anything. My father took her and went for Chilla for 40 days. This is when she came back from Pakistan. Then we are 4 brothers. She made the tashkil of all 4 sons at one time, sent us to Pakistan. We first spent 4 months. Then we remained behind and became Huffaz. We completed our hills. Then we did our alim. We finished our alim course. Then my mother remained behind. We did our iftar, became muftis. And then she made us remain behind and spend 1 year. After 17 years, we came back home to Australia. Now in Sydney alone, Allah has used these youngsters to a large extent. That there are almost 96 masjids and musallas in Sydney alone. So Allah has given us the youth to use it. One youngster is a means of hidayat for the entire continent, for the entire North Africa. But when we have forgotten our responsibility, Allah took us to Nigeria in 1961. The first church was built in Lagos City. At that time there were 30,000 masajids. But when the youth today have forgotten their duty and responsibility, and each one of us, we have forgotten who we are and what we have been sent for. Today in Lagos City, there are 150,000 churches. Over 50 million have become murtad. Some areas we went to, a young child, 3-year-old child, hasn't eaten a sweet before in his life. You open a sweet, put it in the mouth, after a few seconds it falls out. To get a tomato in some areas, to get an onion in some areas is a mission. Allah has given us His ni'mats, Allah has given us His bounties, Allah has given us madaris, Allah has given us masajid, Allah has given us ulama, Allah has given us a beautiful environment. Appreciate this environment and make the niyat. That we are the da'is, we are the ambassadors of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have been sent for this. To finish ourselves, to use our youth, Our country also, a youngster at the age of 24, 25, Haji Bhai Baja Rahmatullahi, who was known, he went for Hajj in 61, Allah accepted him. At that time, Mawlana Umar Sahib Rahmatullahi made his tashkil. And then he said, I looked at Baytullah. And I said, oh Allah, I'm giving my name for 4 months. But this effort, if this effort is haq, then accept my entire life. And Allah accepted him after Hajj, not like us, we write the name and then we say, okay, after 6 months we'll go for 4 months. Or after 1 year or next year we'll go for 4 months. Immediately after Hajj he went, they took him from there. He spent 6 months and came back and he used to walk from place to place. He used to jump onto the back of sugarcane trucks. When in the entire country we hardly had probably less than 10 hafiz of Quran. Ulama was rarity, maybe 4 or 5 ulama in the whole country. But through a simple effort of gush and moving in the path of Allah, today we have over 40 or 50 Darul Ulums in the country. Hufaz you cannot even count. And not just one youngster who stood up at that time. Allah used him for the land. Asked him one day, Haji Sahib, what you'll tell Allah you brought and came? He said, I'll tell Allah I brought Canada and came. So I said, what you mean? You won't tell him South Africa? He said, I was the first one to perform Jummah Salah on the land of Canada. When Jummah Salah was being performed on a Sunday, in the 60s he came to Vancouver and people were reading Salatul Jummah on Sunday. Because that was the only day that they had some time. And gathered them, mashallah, Mulana is coming. Gathered them and prepared them and then bought a masjid. Bought a church, made it a masjid. And day after you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today there are over 1,000 masajids in the land of Canada. So you're all ready inshallah. You all make niyat inshallah. 4 months every year in the path of Allah. Until Allah takes our ruh inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam. MashaAllah, the bayan has already taken place. It's not my intention to give another bayan. Time also is very limited. In fact, there's one very elderly Sati of ours. Quite sickly now also. Allah Ta'ala give him shifa. Very humorous Sati. In fact, only when you travel in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with people, then you realize the value and the potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in people. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An-nasu ma'adin, an-nasu ma'adin ka ma'adin al-dhahabi wal-fidda." He said, "Every human being is a gold mine or a silver mine." In other words, in every human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept great potential. If we cultivate that potential, then that potential will come to the fore, and it will become a means of benefiting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So referring to this one Sati, for example, many times I've traveled with him in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 20, 30 years ago, he was diagnosed with one type of cancer, and they removed his entire colon. So he's got a bag. He's unable to relieve himself, go toilet, not naturally, he has to go in a bag. You can imagine somebody traveling 40 days, 4 months, you have to carry 120 bags with you. You don't have the comfort of your home. You don't have the comfort of your family members to make your khidmat. Yet despite all that, I have observed this person with my own eyes. When we travel in the path of Allah, not one day's tahajjud is made qaza. And not only not one day's tahajjud is made qaza, every salah in the first saf, with takbir-e-ula. At times, sometimes they're not able to control the movement of that bag. The napaki inside overflows. As a result of which this person has to go and make ghusl, he has to bathe himself, clean himself, with all that takleef. Every salah in the first saf with takbir-e-ula. The reason I'm mentioning about the sati is because, as I mentioned, it's not my intention to start another bayan. It's also a very humorous sati. And what is ajeeb about him is that if you just look at him, he doesn't complain about his condition to anyone. You won't know that he's got all these problems. Without complaining to anyone, makes his own khidmat, sees to himself, 70, 80, recently with Dr. Saab, one or two, three years back, he was spending 4 months pedal in the path of Allah. And as I mentioned, he's very humorous. So he always used to say that there are three rules of public speaking. He used to say, stand up to be seen, speak up to be heard, and shut up to be appreciated. I always mention that the third part of what he said, shut up to be appreciated, I'm still practicing on that. A lot of times they say when Maulana Qahtani starts his bayan, there's no breaks. The bayan goes on too long. So like I mentioned, it's not my intention to make a long bayan. But speaking about this one person, this one sati, as I mentioned, Allah give him long life, his name is Ali Khan. 2-3 years back, they diagnosed him with liver cancer. 95% of his liver they took out also. And still he makes his salah in the first saf with takbir-e-ula. Like that, there are certain people amongst us. We don't know the value of these people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sitting at the side of the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was crying. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw him. And he said, Ya Mu'az, ma yubkik. Then Mu'az, why are you crying? He said, ذَكَرْتُ قَوْلَ صَاحِبِ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ. He says, I remembered something that I heard from the resident of this grave that has caused me to cry. Something that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. I remember that and it has caused me to cry. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to him that what was it that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that caused you to cry? So he mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that man aada lillahi waliyan faqad baraza Allahu bil muharaba wa inna Allaha yuhibbul abrar al atqiya al akhfiya. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion said that that person who opposes the friend of Allah, that person who opposes the friend of Allah, Allah declares war with him. We heard earlier, Dr. Saab was mentioning the difficulties, the hardship that the Ummah is facing today. The biggest mistake we make is we tend to focus on others. Quran and Hadith teaches us, don't focus on others, focus on yourself. Whenever Sahaba-e-Kiram were faced with difficulty, were faced with hardship, were faced with problems, were faced with calamities, when they would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for advice, or after his demise, the Khulafa'i Rashideen, they would never look at others. They would analyze themselves. What sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come out of my life? Why is it that the help of Allah is not with me? Our ma'amla and affair is not with others, it is with ourselves. Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna Allah, aslaha Allahu ma baynahu wa bayna khalqi. The one who will correct his relationship with Allah, Allah will correct his relationship with the entire creation. Become Allah's, Allah will become yours. If Allah is yours, how beautifully Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. When a person becomes Allah's, when Allah's love is in his heart, and Allah loves him, then what happens? Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم says that Allah says, I become his ears by which he listens. I become his eyes by which he sees. I become his hands by which he grasps. I become his feet by which he walks. وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ وَلَئِن إِسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ. Thereafter, whenever he will ask me anything, I will grant it to him. If he will seek my protection, I will protect him. There's one Latifa mentioned. There was a newly married couple. They were going walking on the road. And there was one Allah Wala, friend of Allah Ta'ala, he was also walking. And by mistake he slipped. When he slipped, he put his foot in a puddle of water. And the water splashed. Dirty, muddy water splashed on the dress of this newly married bride. So her husband got angry. And when her husband got angry, he slapped this person. Jazallahu Allah. The husband walked few steps front and fell down dead. So this woman started screaming that this person killed my husband. Big crowd gathered. He was taken to court. And in front of the judge, this woman said that this man killed my husband. So they asked this person, what have you to say in your defense? This woman is saying that you killed her husband. So what he said, simple thing. He said, uski yaar ne mujhe mara, to phir mere yaar ne usko mara. He said, her beloved hit me, so my beloved hit him. Her beloved hit me, so my beloved hit him. وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ وَلَئِن إِسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ. If Allah is yours and you have become Allah's, then Allah says, ask me for whatever you want, I will grant it to you. Seek my protection and I will protect you. So he said, I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying this, that person who will become, will make enmity, dushmani with the friend of Allah, Allah declares war upon him. And then what else did Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم say? وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْأَبْرَارَ الْأَتْقِيَاءَ الْأَخْفِيَاءَ. Allah Ta'ala loves those people. There are certain people that Allah loves. Who are the friends of Allah? Who does Allah love? Al-Abrar, Al-Atqiya, Al-Akhfiya. Three things are mentioned in this hadith. One is they are obedient to Allah. Those who are obedient to Allah, Al-Abrar. Al-Atqiya, those who have taqwa in their hearts. And the third thing is the reason why I'm mentioning this hadith. Al-Akhfiya. This word akhfiya, what it means? It means unknown. Some rewrites this expression akhfiya is explained further. الذين إن حضروا لم يدعوا ولم يقربوا وإن غابوا لم يفقدوا. There are people with no social status, no standing, unknown people. If they present, no one will call them front, mashallah, come front. Nobody will even look at them. And if they're absent, no one will look for them also. If they intercede on behalf of someone, it is likely the intercession will not be accepted. If they propose in marriage for the daughter of someone, more likely than not, the proposal won't be accepted. But, so far as the dunya is concerned, so far as the world is concerned, they have no status, no recognition. Nobody looks up at them. But, قُلُوبُهُمْ مَصَابِحُ الْهُدَىٰ. Their hearts are lanterns of guidance. يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ غَبَرَىٰ مُظْلِمَىٰ. Wherever they go, they will dispel the darkness. Now in this day and age, my respected brothers, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, this effort of da'wat and tabligh, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revived at the hands of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, reminded this ummah of that sabak and lesson that we forgot. Such a large number of people are found in this Jamaat of Dawud and Tabligh that are a clear cut, a clear-cut living representation of this description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a large number we will find in this jama'at that we will not find in any other jama'at. Obedient to Allah, in their hearts are taqwa. They are unknown, they are not looking for status, not looking for social, not looking for recognition. I remember a few years ago when we were in Malawi, neighboring country to South Africa. We were in a town called Zomba, a small village in Malawi. I gave bayan, after bayan, as I was walking out of the masjid, one brother from Pakistan, he rushed forward to put my shoes right. I told him, "Abai, leave it, bhai." And I started asking who you are. So he said, "I'm from Pakistan. What are you doing here? I'm out in the path of Allah." "How long are you out for?" He says, "1 year." 1 year in the path of Allah. He's also got wife, he's also got children, he's also got commitment. 1 year out in the path of Allah. So I said, "Is this the first time you're spending 1 year?" He said, "No." "How many times have you spent 1 year?" He said, "5 times. 5 times 1 year. Yet, if you go to Rai in Markaz in Pakistan and mention the name of this person, no one will know who you're talking about. No one, no recognition. 5 years. 5 years. 5 times 1 year out in the path of Allah. Then I asked him that, mention anything strange that ever happened to you all. He said, "Once, few years ago, our jamaat, we were working in the jungle of Africa. We left the main city, went into the jungle. The local India-Pakistani brothers were not prepared to come with us. The local Indians were not prepared. Few of the local blacks came with us. Such was the conditions in the jungle." He says, "While we were in the jungle, a pride of lion attacked our jamaat. And the two black brothers, the local brothers that were with us, they both became shaheed. But because there wasn't communication, we were right in the jungle, no electricity, no telephone, no satellite, no communication. The news came back to the main town that two people from this jamaat are shaheed. Who is shaheed? No one knew. And he says, this news went back to our families in Pakistan. Only 4 months later, our wives and children found out whether we were alive or dead. Only when we came back to the main town, then the news filtered back to our families that we are still alive. For 4 months, our wives and children knew. Two had passed away. Who had passed away, they didn't know. This type of qurbani and sacrifice, even in this day and age, is being given. I remember in 93, when we were in Pakistan, we met one person. He was selling tea on one corner of the street. Selling a cup of tea for 2 rupees. You can't even compare 2 rupees to Canadian dollars. Not even 1 penny, not even 1 cent it is. Selling tea, so I asked him, "How long are you selling this tea for?" He says, "For 25 years. 25 years selling tea, cup of tea for two rupees. Why are you doing it?" He says, "I'm saving up." Now if you have to analyze and look at his situation, he's probably sharing his house with his parents, 3 or 4 married brothers, his children and their children all living in one house. Sometimes if he wants some private time with his wife, they have to make special intizam. Now logically, someone is saving up who's living in that kind of condition, what should he be saving up for? Buy his own house, build an extension, get some privacy for himself, make his worldly situation easy. Logically, it should be that. But I asked this person, I said, "Why are you saving? 25 years selling cup of tea for 2 rupees. You are saving up for what?" He says, "I'm saving up because I want to go 1 year pedal walking jamaat in the jungles of Africa." Now the question you and I, my respected brothers, have to ask ourselves, that on what basis do we expect tomorrow on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat us and these people the same? Allah doesn't have relationship with anyone. Allah is not blood relation with anyone. There the currency will not be how big the bank balance was, how many degrees you had, what type of clothing you wore. In that court the currency is something else. Like one of our elders puts it beautifully. You know, sometimes you go to this airport, especially in these European countries nowadays, you'll see a guy in the immigration queue, he's got an American passport. MashaAllah, his chest is pushed out. Fearless, he's got nothing to worry about. He walks up to the immigration counter too, he slams his passport down. As if he's challenging that authority, they do something about it if you want to. And in the same queue, you see the Pakistani, the Bengali, the Indian brother is shivering. Pasina pasina ho raha hai. He's sweating beforehand. Almost as his peshab wants to come out. There's another court that is coming. There's another day that is coming. There will be a different type of passport, and there will be a different type of visa. And that visa, my respected brothers, will not be whether you are American, South African, African, Canadian, Australian, Chinese, whether you are black, whether you are white, whether you are tall, whether you are short, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you drove a Mercedes Benz or a Toyota, or how big your bank balance was, or you had nothing in the bank. In that court, there will only be one passport and one visa. And that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That will be the only criteria. How close were you? How close were you to the model and example of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And on that basis, the decision will take place. Unfortunately, we are living in an era or a period where everything nowadays has become outward show. That which is tangible, that which is visible. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his sahaba, one person passed. MashaAllah, shan and shokat, wealthy person. Good appearance. Could see the status, the social status and standing of that person as he passed. So he asked the sahaba, what do you think about that person? He said, Ya Rasulullah is a prominent person. If he proposes for someone's daughter, straight away he'll get the, they'll give the daughter, they'll be happy to give. If he intercedes on behalf of someone, puts a good word for someone, people will accept, they listen to him. This is a prominent man. The Mishnah remained silent. I'm giving them a form of the hadith. Little while later, another person passed. Simple person, outwardly no ostentation. Worldly, hardly any status or position. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the sahaba, what do you think of this person? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, this person doesn't have any, he's not known. He has no real status or position. If he has to intercede on behalf of someone, people won't listen to him. If he proposes to someone's daughter, it is more likely he will not be given. Then what did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? He said, the whole world, if it had to be full of people of the caliber and position of the first person, and that is put on one side, and this one second person is put on the other side, this person has more maqam and status in the sight of Allah than the whole world full of the first person. Allah does not look at what is outside, what is inside Allah looks. There was one black sahabi, Yasir radiallahu ta'ala, ghaliban his name was. He would live on the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. He was a farmer by trade. Little bit produce he would grow. Every now and then when he had a little bit produce, he would come and he would sell it in the marketplace of Medina. He would always bring hadiya and gift for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a lot of love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one such occasion, he came to Medina Munawwara and he's selling his produce in the marketplace. All of a sudden, he becomes aware that someone has caught him from behind. And he's shouting, who will buy the slave? Who will purchase the slave? Who will purchase the slave? He becomes upset. He's a free man. Who is selling him? How can he be sold as a slave? I'm a free man. Who are you? He's trying to figure out who is the person that has held him like this and is making this announcement. Finally, when he discerns and realizes that it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was humorously playing with the sahabi. First he was trying to break away, pull away. When he realized it is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started pushing his back closer to the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, the goods that you are offering are very defective. There's no value in the goods that you are offering. You are saying, who will purchase this person? The goods you are offering are very defective. They don't have any value. What did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, perhaps in the eyes of people, the goods I am offering are very defective, but in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are very, very well. What is inside? What is inside? We have to correct our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the criteria for what is inside is how much closer, how close we have come to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the night of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fikr, the cry, the concern. I remember just a few years ago there was one Hifz Jalsa. One of our ulama, he was giving an example. He said once there was an Islamic conference in a first world country. Islamic conference. And in that conference there was a white brother who was a revert, new Muslim. This person had his pants halfway between his knee and his ankle. If you look, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma as falal ka'bain finnar." He said that section of your clothing which is underneath your ankle is in Jahannam. Allowance is to keep it to just above the ankle. Below that is in Jahannam. But the actual sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was nisfu saq, halfway between the knee and the ankle. This person had his clothing halfway between the knee and the ankle. So one scholar like me approached him and told him, "Bhai, you've got allowance to keep it to just above the ankle. Why don't you lower your clothing?" Why was he giving him this advice? He said, "I fear that people will mock at you. People will mock at you." So when he heard this new Muslim, revert, he responded. He said two things. The first thing he said, "Do you wish, are you advising me to abandon the sunnah of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the opinion of foolish people? What is superior? Wallah, there is nothing more superior than the way of life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This inferiority complex that we have, that we feel that we have to conform as if what others have is superior to what we have, this is the height of foolishness. Wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, there is nothing more superior than the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beloved than the, more valuable than the seven heavens and the seven earths put together." He said, "Do you wish that I must abandon the sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the opinion of fools? What do I care what they say?" And then the second thing he said, which is more pertinent to what the point we want to make, ajeeb thing he said. He said, you people are Muslims by chance. I am a Muslim by choice. You people are Muslims by chance. I am a Muslim by choice. You were born in a Muslim home. You had no say in it. Allah chose you and gave you Islam. I am a Muslim by choice. So ask me the value of one sunnah. Ask me the value of iman and deen. So that day is coming, my respected brothers. And in that court, the visa and the passport will be one thing and one thing only, and that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This great Mubarak effort Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked and attached us with. The criteria and the question, my respected brothers, is what preparation have we made for that day? How much have we acquired the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we made ourselves valuable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The whole world is waiting for us. The whole world is waiting for us. MashaAllah, a lot of youngsters here, a lot of ulama here also. Wherever we go, once we come out of our cocoon, once we come out of our protected environments, travel. Travel in the world and see, wherever you go, there is only one message that is coming across. Only one message that is coming across, that wallah, the whole of humanity is thirsty. Who is going to show us the way? The world is waiting. Show us the road to Allah. Show us the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People, the hearts, wallah, are crying out. We just have to put ourselves a little bit forward. A few years ago, there was a jamaat from Qatar in South Africa. One of the brothers was giving karguzari. He says, once we were at the Doha airport. And he says, I was sitting, and just behind me there were two youngsters, 17, 18 years old. And they started a conversation amongst themselves, and they were speaking so loudly that inadvertently I overheard them. What the conversation was is that they had told their parents, that we were going to go for Umrah. But in reality, they had lied to their parents. They were going to Morocco to go and have a holiday. And obviously, Arab youngsters, 17, 18 years old, of age, in a place like Morocco, a playground, we know what they'll get involved in. So they were discussing their plans, and they were joking and laughing about how they had deceived their parents, and where they were going to go. So he says, the thought entered my heart, must I speak to them, mustn't I speak to them, must I speak to them, mustn't I speak to them. So he said, then he said, I realized that what harm is there, let me give them some dawah, speak about Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says, I approached them in a nice way, I greeted them and I started speaking to them. A little bit about Iman, Yaqeen, about Qabr, about Akhirat. And then gradually towards the end, I put one question in front of them. And I said, brothers, that inadvertently I overheard what you were saying. The time of our mort, we don't know. When has Allah written the time for us to leave this world? Your parents think you are going in one direction, you are going in another direction. What if your mort is written? What if your mort is written? One is, how are you going to face Allah? On the other hand, what hurt this will cause to your parents? He says, I said that, and I woke up and I walked away. Few minutes later, those youngsters approached me. And they said, brother, whatever you told us has struck our hearts. We are ready now to go in the path of Allah. He had made the tashkil to go for 10 days in the path of Allah. So the mashwara was made. Okay, mashallah, these two brothers are ready to go for 10 days now. They are prepared to abandon their plans. So where should we send them? So they said, mashwara decided that since they had told their parents they were going for Umrah, let them go for Umrah first. Make Umrah and then they can spend some time in Jeddah, wherever it is. So he says that these two brothers, they flew to Jeddah, tied the ihram. After they tied the ihram, the car left from Jeddah on the way to Makkah Mukarramah. The car met in an accident and both of them passed away. So the mort was written. The mort was written. If he had not spoken to them, where would they have ended up? Where would they have ended up? Allah used him. Rasulullah said, a person who passes away in ihram will rise up on the day of judgment reciting the labbaik. From where to where, just because of a few minutes of reminding somebody about the greatness of Allah, about qabr, about akhirat, wallah, the whole world is thirsty. The whole world is thirsty. People are waiting. Who is there that will put the hand on the shoulder? Who is there that will become a means of a person getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught hold of the hand of Ali radiallahu anhu. And he told him, Ya Ali, la'an yahdi Allahu bika rajulan wahida khayrun laka min humudin na'am. Ali, if Allah uses you to guide one person, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمَرٍ نَعْمٍ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ أُخْرَى خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Ali, this is better for you than the whole world and whatever it contains. So mashallah, some of us are youth, some are ulama, most are young. Allah has given life, Allah has given opportunity, Allah has given health, Allah has showered us with His ni'mat and His bounties. This is the time for us to make decision, my respected brothers. Make decision, what is the direction that we are choosing? What is it? Allah wants, Allah is ready to use us. We have to put ourselves forward. So who is ready, inshallah, to make niyat? Inshallah, first step, my respected brothers. Those of ulama ikram that haven't spent 1 year, we make a humble appeal that inshallah they make niyat for one year in the path of Allah. And our youngsters, 4 months, when we have the opportunity after our studies, but naqad cash now, inshallah, sometime in our holidays in the path of Allah. Let us make niyat by Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama anta ahlu. Wa salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammadin kama anta ahlu. Wa fa'al bina ma anta ahlu. Fa innaka ahlu al-taqwa wa ahlu al-maghfira. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا ندعوك الله وندعوك الرحمن وندعوك البر الرحيم وندعوك بأسمائك الحسنى كلها ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم أن تغفر لنا وترحمنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إن مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب اغفر لنا ولجميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن سيئات أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد الإنس والجان اللهم افتح أبواب الهداية اللهم أخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور وجنبهم الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن يا رب العالمين اللهم اهد شباب المسلمين اللهم اهد شباب المسلمين اللهم اصلح شباب المسلمين اللهم اجعلهم قرة اعين لابائهم وامهاتهم ونصرة لدينك يا رب العالمين اللهم انا نسالك حبك وحب رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب عمل يقربنا الى حبك اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا اللهم اجعل نبينا اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرضا وحوضه لنا موردا اللهم احشرنا في زمرة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واستعملنا على سنته واجعلنا من حزبه يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماع مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما برحمتك ومنك وفضلك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومتعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.